Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show here on your home for Sporting KC Soccer Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Nate Bucati, joined as always by the one and only El Jefe Carter Augustine. Good evening, Carter. How are you?
Still recovering, I think, from that game this weekend. I mean, how are you?
My voice, I don't know if you can, voice actually is. Now, some of that was screaming and yelling down in the Power and Light District during the Big 12 tournament, but I thought my voice had recovered suitably for the game, but by the end of the game, it was gone again because, four goals in the last 20 minutes of the game? There's a lot of shouting.
Pretty uneventful second half out in Bridgeview.
Well, you got your money's worth watching that game, and most importantly, the result that Sporting Kansas City needed, which was a victory. I think that erases a bit of the disappointment from week one. You lose a game on the road or lose a game at home. You turn around and you pick up 3 points on the road. Maybe it cancels that one out. And now we move forward into the balance of the season. We've got a busy show coming up for you tonight. As first and foremost, we're going to talk with one of the heroes of Sporting's victory over Chicago Fire, Johnny Russell, who had, a goal and at least one assist in the game. No credit for the assist.
They're not even going to give him a second assist on that?
I guess not. I'm looking at the box score right now, unless that's changed. Daniel Shalloway's got two assists on the day, but he created the game-winning goal with his run and the nutmeg on Christian Dean.
A big part to play in the first goal as well, the run in behind and his touch that the keeper gets some paws on, and it falls to Felipe Gutierrez.
And then, of course, he had a goal himself. Excuse me. The voice is still recovering. So we're going to talk with Johnny Russell here coming up in the next segment of the show. Also, Carter, you were training today, and you got a couple of interviews for us.
That's right. Get to hear from Peter Vermees as well as Roger Espinosa on Chicago, but then also looking forward to this game this weekend, San Jose Earthquakes.
Yeah, we'll spend a lot of time on the show today getting ready for that game. The Chicago Fire, San Jose Earthquakes coming to town. Now, they are 1-0 season, as Carter pointed out during our broadcast on Saturday. They had a bye week in week two, so they sat back and watched the rest of the MLS action unfold. So we'll be welcoming San Jose to town on St. Paddy's Day, and what a night it will be at Children's Mercy Park. 7:30 for the kickoff of that one. I think San Jose are going to be a contender in the West this year, so this is a big early test for Sporting Kansas City, and it's a division game, which means that the points are almost double the value when it comes to the Western Conference standings. It's a six-point swing one way or the other if one of these teams wins the game. So that right there makes it exciting enough. And then you add on the St. Patrick's Day festivities to it. They're going to have green scarves. You modeled one of those for us. Those are pretty cool. And green beer specials and all that stuff. And a U2 cover band in the parking lot. It's going to be an Irish-themed day at Children's Mercy Park. It should be a pretty darn good game as well.
Yeah, I think it will be a good game. Like you said, the first Western Conference matchup for Sporting this year. So looking forward to that bit. And St. Paddy's Day in Kansas City, all is some fun. So I think that'll carry on into the game as well.
All right, so we'll spend some time getting ready for that game as well. But let's take a moment to look back at this game. We've touched on it a little bit. 4-3 Sporting Kansas City win it over the Chicago Fire. Let's start with the first half. Couldn't have been much better, in my opinion, for Sporting Kansas City. They dominated the play. They overran Chicago's midfield. They created chances, and they put a couple of them away, and they went to the locker room with a 2-0 lead. I don't know that much more could have been asked in the first half.
I agree. I thought they played really well, and they created chances, and they limited Chicago as well. And this is a team that scored a ton of goals at home last season. They only lost two games at home all of last season. So it's a very good team that knows how to play at home and can really – we saw it in the second half. They can really score. So I thought in the first half there weren't really any chances to speak of for Chicago. I think they would have gone in at the halftime break feeling very confident.
Of course, then there's the run in the second half where Chicago should have scored a goal fairly quickly. Šilinjak missed a wide open header.
That was like you said on the broadcast, it was almost harder to miss.
Yeah, and he did. But Seth Sinovic goes down with an injury. He got bonked on the eyebrow. Basically, he had to be taken off for stitches. And difficult situation for Jimmy Madronda to step right into as he gets matched up with Bastian Schweinsteiger, who gets the turn on Madronda with a bit of a nutmeg there, and then a perfect service in to Katai, who put it away. Then it was Madronda losing Dax McCarty on the corner kick. McCarty's header was wide open, but it was saved, but right into the path of one of the best, if not the best, goal scorer right now in MLS, in Nemanja Nikolić. He puts it away, and then they get a third from Nikolić as well on a that back post cross that's been a problem for Sporting KC. Bam, bam, bam. I mean, it happened really quickly. All of a sudden, Chicago went from down two goals to up by one.
Yeah, and like you said, it was tough for Madrona to come in. Not only, I just think the pace of the game was really fast at that point in time, but Chicago was in the ascendancy as well.
Yeah.
Like you said, they had a couple chances before that didn't go for them, but they were playing really confidently at that point. I thought they must have gotten a nice shouting at in the locker room, because they came out a much better team in the second half, made a few small adjustments, I think, and Schweinsteiger popping up on the right more in the second half than he was, mm-hmm. I think, in the first half. So maybe they saw something over there, and especially when Madrona came in, he just, like you said, it was within a minute that he was on that side, splitting a double team and putting in a wonderful ball, and that's just something that that's the quality that Schweinsteiger has, even at this age. So I think it was tough at that point in time to come in the game. But you're right. It was three crosses, and the quickness that it happened was pretty alarming.
And the service that was allowed, one was on a corner, but of course the last goal came from wide open service from the right hand side, and obviously that's something that Sporting Kansas City dealt with last year. They talked about, tell you what, if I'm Seth Sinovic, I'm running to the manager and saying, by the way, we haven't conceded a goal when I'm in the game.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not trying to single out Jimmy Madronda. We know that Jimmy can be a terrific 1v1 defender. And it was a tough situation to walk into. But Seth, I'm just taking that. If I'm Seth, you know, hey, you know, we didn't give up a goal when I was in. And we'll see. Hopefully Seth recovers and gets back into the game. Talking with Matt Beisler on our morning show today, which I would encourage people, if you missed that interview, go to the A10WHB podcast page on the Border Patrol. You can hear the interview that I did with Beisler this morning. He said that the team, sure, you're going to try to become more compact and choke the game off and absorb a little pressure when you're up by two goals, but he felt they dropped too far on the back heel, and allowed themselves to just be assaulted by Chicago for a decent stretch. And really, it makes sense, because once they fell behind, they got back out on the front foot and looked like the team they did in the first half.
Yeah, what a great response it was. Yeah, you're right. Maybe that 2-0 lead being the worst to have in soccer, that old cliche, did come true a little bit, because they did start a little bit more on the back foot, like you said, in the opening of the second half. Chicago came out ready to go. Talking with Peter Vermes at halftime, he felt that Chicago would play much better in the second half than they did in the first half. It was kind of, you know, it was their first game of the season as well, so they had a bit of a rude awakening in that first half, the way Sporting was playing and the way Sporting was able to keep the ball. I think you're right. They maybe just were on the back foot a little bit too much, but they did wake up right when they needed to. I think a key to that comeback was getting that goal so early after they conceded the third one.
Yeah, and it didn't take long at all. Former Sporting Kansas City man Kevin Ellis subbed into the game, and boom. I mean, it wasn't, I'm not blaming Kevin Ellis for it. It was a ball in that was intended for Gerso Fernandez that their goalkeeper Sanchez kind of pushed away right into the path of Jimmy Madronda. Now, that might look like an easy finish, but it's not, and he absolutely made no mistake with it.
Great finish, really composed, and he put the pace on it, didn't he, that was necessary to beat. Sanchez was getting back on his feet, but I think the ball from Roger is fantastic. It's in a really dangerous area, and as you saw, Sanchez just didn't really know what to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, it was, if he doesn't get there, Gerso's
there, or maybe it squirts through because it had enough pace on it. I just thought it was a great ball from Roger, and it was almost immediately from the restart that they were up the field and putting that ball in.
And then, of course, the match winner started by the amazing run by Johnny Russell. He just goes driving down the right-hand side, touches it through the legs of Christian Dean. I'm not sure if he was going for the nutmeg there or not. He pulled it off, whether he was. Maybe we'll ask him when we have him on the show. But then He puts the cross in, a back heel by Daniel Chaloui, a dummy by Gerso, and the finish by Gutierrez. It was all too much for me. I went back and watched my call of it because I just kind of had to stop and say, and it's Gutierrez, yeah. Because so many things happened in such a short succession. It was really wonderful work by all four of the guys involved.
It was one of the prettiest goals I've seen Sporting score in my time here. So just a beautiful goal and fully deserving of being a late winner in a 4-3 game. So it's just one of the better goals you'll see. Like you mentioned, Russell, his run starts it all. And this is something the guys told us down in Tucson, that it's something that he's really good at, those little slalom runs where he'll set two mm-hmm. defenders up and then usually try and split them. Mm-hmm. And he's just he sets them up so well. We've already seen that a couple times in these first couple games. It's something that he really likes, a little delay to bring in the double team, and yeah. then he just kind of touches it to one side and splits them, and that's what he did on that run as well.
He was certainly dangerous in this game, and Felipe Gutierrez with the brace was tremendous. Second game in a row for Sporting Kansas City, and they get the win 4-3. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Johnny Russell about that and more. This is the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for Sporting Kansas City Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Russell into the area, a sliding save by Sanchez, and it's banged home! And Sporting Kansas City have taken the lead! It's Felipe Gutierrez!
And welcome back to the Sporting Kansas City Show here on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucati along with Ojefe Carter Augustine and joined by one of the stars of the match on Saturday, Johnny Russell, winger for Sporting Kansas City. Good evening, Johnny. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Great. And, of course, the main reason we want to have you on today is I want to get into the spectacular 3-2 victory come from behind by Celtic over Rangers at Ibrox on Sunday morning. What did you make of it?
Delighted. I watched the first half with you at the airport. It was a pretty nervy first half, and then obviously we fly back to Kansas and to get off the plane and find out that we'd won 3-2 was a pretty good feeling, to be honest.
It was a tremendous feeling for those of us that root for the Hoops, and they were down a man when we took off, Carter, and it was 2-2, and then we got off the plane and they had won 3-2, and pretty much put away the Scottish League, which I know you're very passionate about, Carter. So
that's very good to hear.
I will say this, Johnny, it was a trip for me watching the first half with you because of this. Here you are, a professional footballer yourself. A guy who's making a pretty decent amount of money to play, and you played in that league for a different team, for Dundee United. Yet you were getting into the game, like you were fired up, like a fan would be, or a supporter would be. I kind of thought maybe once you get into the business yourself, maybe some of that fandom goes away, but not so. You still can watch a game like a regular supporter.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, we're all still fans. So, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, where I've been or what I do. I'm always going to be a fan. Obviously, when I played in Scotland, then I had to tone it down. Obviously, you can't be supporting one of your rivals. But you know, since I've left, you know, I always keep tabs on them. Always try to get to games when I played in England. And I think the more that I've been away, I think it's the old saying, the absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the more time I've spent away, the sort of more the love has grown, really.
What was that like for you when you played at Dundee United, when you had to play games against your boyhood team?
I loved it. Always wanted to do well. You know, a lot of my family are all Celtic fans. So I grew up in an area, just outside Glasgow that was really like Celtic orientated. So it was always games I wanted to do well in. And at that time as well, it was where I wanted to go. So, you know, I was sort of playing to catch to catch their eye. It was a team that I grew up my whole life supporting, and it was where I wanted to play. So from that aspect, then, you know, I wouldn't say I tried harder because I give everything in every game. But it's always like games like that you want to stand out in.
We're visiting with Johnny Russell, of course, now a star for Sporting Kansas City. And I mean, we saw a little indication of the fact that you give it all you've got in the game that we just had. We'll get to that game in a second, but I do want to talk to you a little bit more about just your background so our fans can learn more about you. You played at Dundee United. We know then you went to Derby County after that. I sent you an article our buddy Matt Lawrence sent to some of us that was in The Guardian, written by a Scotsman who lives in the United States now. And he gets up early and he watches all these Scottish soccer games. And he was kind of laughing at people, you know, maybe slag the quality of play there. But he said, you know what? Scottish soccer is what soccer is still supposed to be about, because it's about your roots. It's about history. It's about your club more than just, you know, spending $100 million on a transfer fee for some player and tourists to come watch your team. How would you describe Scottish soccer? Like, what did it mean to you? What does it mean to you?
I think he's pretty much hit the nail on the head there. You know, in Scotland, we're never going to be in a position to go and spend, you know, millions, like hundreds of millions on players. So it's our main sport. We don't have anything else. So as a kid, it's every kid's dream to obviously be a professional footballer or soccer player. So and a lot of people knock the standard of Scottish football, but I've never been one of them. I've been there, I've played in it, I know how difficult it can be. So even now, I still, if there's a Scottish game on, I'll watch it. It doesn't matter who it is, really. I've got a lot of friends who still play in Scotland, so I always look out for them and always look out for my old clubs as well. So obviously I look out for Dundee United. I'm obviously being a Celtic fan as well, then, you know, that's something that I always keep my eye on.
So as a kid growing up in Scotland, Johnny, and as a fan in a predominantly Celtic area, who were some of the players that you looked at growing up, and who were some of your favorite players? Maybe for Celtic, but maybe if there's some guys abroad as well.
Well, I grew up in the Henrik Larsson era.
Yeah.
So he came to Celtic when I was around seven. So it was when I was really like sort of getting in to football. He was still to this day. He's my idol. He's the greatest player I've ever seen at Celtic. Obviously, you've got your world superstars. But for me, he was just at that time in my life when, you know, that's when I was really like, this is what I want to do, and being able to see that guy. But we had so many great players around about that time. We had a midfielder called Lubo Mravchik, who is one of the best like technical players I've seen. But for me, it's got to be Henrik Larsson. Like I said, even to this day, he's still an absolute like hero of mine. So he's definitely the one for me.
Yeah, he's an absolute legend among Celtic fans. There's no doubt about that. We're visiting with Johnny Russell. Now, Johnny, to fast forward a little bit, you said, I know I've talked to you about this, you went to Derby County in England, and at that time, there, you know, certainly were some Celtic fans hoping that it would work out, that you would end up there, and I'm sure for you it would as well. Was that a difficult thing for you, not getting that opportunity to go back and play for Celtic, or just maybe take me through the change from Dundee to Derby?
Yeah, so around about that time, my contract at Dundee United was running out, and you know, sort of everyone made the decision that I would be sold, obviously, to make the club some money, which I was more than happy with. You know, I was there for 10 years. They gave me everything. They gave me the opportunity to like do what I love to do. So the decision was made, and then you know, there was a few clubs from abroad, overseas, that had shown an interest. That never really happened, which was always something that I wanted to do. And then it came down to really a Derby had made an offer, but at the same point, Celtic were sort of hanging around as well and being asked to keep, like, be made aware of if there was any bids or what was happening. So Derby made the bid, made it really clear that they wanted me to join, and made me feel like extremely wanted to be a part of the club. And Celtic were informed, and they just they wouldn't match the offer. So, you know, it was one of the ones that was close, but it never came down to me making a decision on where I was going. Obviously, if the bid was matched, then it would have been an extremely difficult decision for me. You know, I always wanted to go somewhere else, but if, you know, your boyhood heroes are coming in for you, then, you know, there's not many people to turn it down.
Well, then you did make the decision to come here, and we, yeah. Carter and I both talked to you about that. You've told us both that you've watched American soccer and MLS for some time, and you've been intrigued by it. And I'm a little curious as to why. And I don't mean to be self-deprecating about it. Look, we're proud of our soccer here in the United States, and this league is continued to get better. But sometimes we wonder what people in other parts of the world think of us, you know, and do they respect us at the level that we think it should be respected? Why were you interested? Was it the life in the United States that interests you? Was it the play? Why were you watching games? Why were you interested in coming to the U.S.?
I started watching. It all came from my love of the U.S. So, you know, I spoke to you before. I vacationed here for years. So that sort of got me, you know, I'm a big fan of American sports as well. Big fan of football, and, you know, I watch the basketball as well. So I've always been like a big admirer of the sport, so that's what got me into watching the league. And, you know, it's the same anywhere. So when I went to England, people criticised the Scottish game, and then when I came here, people have criticised, you know, this game. But the standard is like way above what people think it is. I wouldn't have came here if I didn't feel that it was going to be like a challenging experience, a challenging league. You know, I'm not coming here to settle. I'm coming here to be successful. I'm coming here to win. And I feel that I'm a part of a team that can do that.
So the American culture was a big part. You mentioned football and basketball. I guess I'm curious what if any of those football teams or basketball teams or players have you been watching?
I don't really have the team because I'm not from here, so it's more just a love of watching the sport rather than having a team that I follow. So it's, you know, so many great players. You know, it's just enjoyable to watch. I just think the whole thing. So I've been to a few American football games when they come to London. I've been to a few games there, so I've been to a few basketball games when I've been over in the States as well. So it's always something that I've loved to watch, and I'll continue to do that.
So I'm going to do my best to turn you into a Kansas basketball fan, Johnny. the NCAA tournament starts this week, so you can go ahead and maybe I'll get you a Jayhawk T-shirt or something, and you can be a supporter. Sound good?
Yeah, not a problem.
There we go. Very simple. This is Johnny Russell that we're visiting with. Okay, let's talk some of this year's team right now. You're two games in. Look, it's a long way to go, so we don't want to jump to too many conclusions right now. But how are you settling in terms of the team itself? I mean, from what you expected to going through a couple of weeks of preseason to a couple of games now, how do you feel about this group of players you're a part of now?
Yeah, I'm delighted that I'm a part of, you know, the players that we've got here. You know, I sort of I didn't have a full understanding of, you know, the team when I came. Obviously, I'd seen a lot of video clips, but it's, you can't really judge anything on that. So, you know, the first few days, you just try and bed yourself in. But when we were in Arizona, the boys were brilliant. Set on me into the way they play, how things work at the club as well, and even outside of practice, you know, they were making sure that, you know, I was around them and doing stuff, which really helps settle in. Once you're settled, you know, off the park, then it's much easier to settle on the park. So it's been difficult, the amount of new players that we've got, everyone trying to get on the same page. I think we've seen that a little bit in the New York game. I think we got a team who were in great form. They're a great team as well, but they've got a lot of great players. So, you know, I think we just got them at the wrong time, but I think it's worked as a bit of a wake-up for us, because it shows that, you know, we've still got things to work on. And I think the week leading up to Chicago, I think we've done that. And then, you know, it's a pretty crazy game, but we showed, you know, great desire to come back in the end, and that's a massive 3 points for us, you know, even though it's early in the season. Yep. To show that sort of fight and come back away from home, it's, you know, it's a testament to the guys that we've got here.
I know, Johnny, a lot of guys after that New York City game had talked about trying to be just a little more cohesive in this press, in this pressing system. How do you think, as a team, how do you think your shape improved from that first game into Chicago?
I think it improved a lot. We worked a lot on it. You know, with a few new guys, myself included, who, you know, we knew what our job was, pressing-wise, but it just, New York caused us a few problems, and it just caught us off guard and sort of knocked us off our game a little bit. So we weren't expecting New York to come and start the way that they did, and once they did, it sort of knocked us. But we sat down and we talked about it, we watched over it, and put it right on the training field. And I think, especially first half in the Chicago game, we were a lot more solid and, well, a lot more disciplined in our pressing as a team.
We're visiting with Johnny Russell. Johnny, before we let you go, I want to ask you about the run that you made on the game-winning goal. It's been talked a lot about by our fans, by us. You took it through two defenders before getting into the penalty area and putting the cross in, and you had a little nutmeg on Christian Dean, their defender. And I'm always curious when that happens. Were you aiming to put it between his legs? Was that just kind of what happened as a result of you cutting back, or are you going for that in a play like that?
So when Rodgers knocked the ball over their midfielder's head, I had a quick glance just to see, you know, where the left fullback was, and he was high up the field. He was causing a lot of problems with how high he was playing, so I knew I had a bit of space. So as I started driving, and Dean came over, then because he's so big and his stride is so big, I knew that there was going to be maybe not an opportunity to put it through his legs. But as I was running, and I decided that I was cutting in, I just seen his legs open, and I thought, you know, that was the only way through. And just thankful that I got myself into the box and could play a part. And, you know, the goal was a great back heel, and, you know, dummy from Gelso as well. So I think it was a great, great team goal. Is what I've been getting a few videos sent, and a few of the guys have been giving me a bit of stick about the, as I played the pass in the box, my knee sticks into the ground and sort of do a bit of a flip. So I've been getting a bit of a hard time about that, but it's I'll continue to do that if it continues to us scoring goals.
Well, we talked about the run that set up the goal, but how about the run, the lung-busting run after the goal to the away fans? What did you think of your first experience with the Rodrin, as they're called on the road?
Yeah, they were brilliant. You know, they were brilliant at home. The atmosphere was, you know, it was amazing at home as well. And, you know, they they made noise the whole way through, and you know, they don't know how important they can be for us. You know, when you're going through rough stages and you can still hear them backing you, then it gives you something to push for as well. And you know, we spoke about that after the game as well, the boys, how thankful we are that, you know, they travelled in numbers as well. So it was nice that we could give them the victory that they travelled for as well.
Well, it was certainly, they got their money's worth. I don't think any of them will regret making that trip up to Chicago, because it was a wildly entertaining game and a big win. And now we look forward to doing it again on Saturday night against San Jose, 7:30, a game that you can listen to on our sister station, 94.5 FM, and, of course, watch on Fox Sports Kansas City. There are still some tickets available, so sportingkc.com is the website. I am curious, Johnny, as a Scotsman who follows, though, a team with some very strong Irish roots in Celtic, do you celebrate St. Patrick's Day? Is that a thing in Scotland? Is it something you've ever celebrated before? What can you tell me about that?
There is a lot of Irish people in Scotland. It's not something that I would say Scotland celebrates as a whole, but we do have, obviously, St. Patrick's Day, and you know, there's a lot of areas in Glasgow as well that celebrate it. So I have been out for it before, and it's always a great occasion. So, you know, hopefully we get the win for it as well, and everyone can enjoy it together.
Have a green beer afterwards, and I don't know, that's probably just a cheesy American thing, I'm guessing. But I'll have a Guinness after the game if they win. How about that?
A Guinness.
Are you a thumbs up or thumbs down on Guinness?
Yeah, thumbs up for me.
Okay. All right, sounds good. Maybe we'll tip one back after the game on Saturday if you guys get a win. Johnny, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it, and best of luck on Saturday night.
Thanks, I appreciate that. Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Johnny Russell, winger for Sporting Kansas City, as he got his account opened up with a big goal for Sporting and a win against the Chicago Fire. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Through the legs of Dean Russell into the area, across it goes.
Back on the Sporting Kansas City show here on your home for Sporting Kansas City Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucati along with Carter Augustine after a great conversation with Johnny Russell. I think it's always fun to get some background on guys, learn a little bit about where they come from, what makes them tick, what made them come here. And I got to be honest with you, I'm thrilled about Johnny Russell. I was thrilled about the reaction from the Derby County fans.
Yeah, that was kind of a good indicator, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like they were sad to see him go, but there were no hard feelings. They wished him well, but they loved him. It wasn't like a good riddance to bad rubbish type thing at all. And I think we've already seen in a couple of games why they liked him so much.
Yeah, the work rate is there, but we're seeing a little bit of quality as well. I think the work rate is what endears him to fans and is what endeared him so much to the Derby fans. And maybe it's just coincidence, maybe it's not correlation, or maybe it's correlation over causation, but Derby's only won once, I think, since Johnny left.
Wow.
They're still in fifth place, but they've been on a little bit of a decline. But
yeah, that team was lined up for promotion.
Yeah, and they're still, you know, but now they're on the bubble of the playoffs. Yeah. So it's interesting to see that. But I'm with you, and for me, the thing that sticks out about him is time and time again, he says, you know, he wants to win. He's here to like win trophies. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really refreshing, and he's very much just entering the prime of his career. So I think Sporting got a good one.
And what I think I will add to his willingness to work, his work rate, is he is a positive player.
Yeah.
When the ball comes to his foot, if he has the opportunity to drive at the defense, he will drive at the defense. If one of his teammates makes a run to the end line, like Daniel Shallowy did in the first half, even if he's not the primary target, he's crashing the top of the box to get himself in position for a rebound or for a goal. And those might seem like simple things, but something this team has really needed over the last few years on the wings is a dynamic, positive thinking player on the wing who will drive at defenses, take people on, and also put himself in positions to help score goals. And And we're seeing that right off the bat. But he also is willing to track back and play a little defense, too.
Yeah, well, I'm with you. The directness that he can bring to the game can be really positive. And we mentioned it in the first segment, but there's just something about the way he can set up defenders that we're already seeing glimpses of. And I think it brings a lot, like you said, something that wasn't there in the Sporting attack in the past couple of years.
Okay, something else that's a part of this Sporting team that I think we're going to have to watch continue to evolve, but the idea of it has excited me since we saw the way this team might come together, is that midfield partnership between Roger Espinoza and Felipe Gutierrez. In the last few years, it's been a very clear-cut, we've got a holding midfielder, Roger Espinoza is the box-to-box number 8, and Benny Failhaber is the number 10. Certainly, Felipe fills in for Benny Failhaber, but he's a different type of animal. And I think it's really fascinating to watch the way those two players are starting to work together. And I know that you had a chance to talk with Roger about that a little bit at training today.
Yeah, I think it is fascinating, too. Like you said, it has been more of a 6-8-10 in the midfield trio. And this year so far, it really does look like more like 2-8s. I think Felipe has a lot of creativity, but he'll also make runs behind the back line. And it's been really interesting to watch Roger and Felipe do that. And yeah, I got to talk to Roger today. He told me that he does feel that he may be getting forward a little bit more, and he feels a little freed up by the quality that Felipe has as well. But yeah, it was a very good conversation with Roger at training today.
All right, let's listen to that right now. Here's Carter Augustine with Roger Espinoza.
Roger, that was a pretty wild game in Chicago this past weekend. What was going through your mind in that last 20 minutes where there were 5 goals scored?
Oh, it was crazy. I mean, you know. When we started winning 2-0, thought we could score some more or at least keep the score like that. Didn't think it was going to be that crazy of a game. But, you know, they had that span of 10, 12 minutes where they got their confidence up. And since they're at home, they started pushing numbers up and score, tie the game. And then a little bit later, they scored the winner. I mean, the goal that was going ahead. Sorry. And, so when they're winning 3-2, we knew we had to do something about it, and we decided to push forward too. We got ourselves in that situation, and that's what we did. And then when we tied the game, we knew we could win it right away, and we decided to go catch our confidence too, and we were able to put it 4-3. But it's a crazy game. I haven't been a part of many of those.
You talked about them getting their confidence up, and that's how they got those 3 goals. How big was it for your guys' confidence to get the response so quickly after they got their 3rd goal? Of course, you being a big part of that play, putting the ball in, what did you see on that play?
You know, it's always great when you go down a goal and come back. You know what you're made of. You know that you have the strength to do that, and it gives the team confidence for the rest of the season. You know, in that play, I knew we had it, have some more movement. I saw Gerson going in the back, and, you know, I decided to play it there, and the goalie rebounded, and that's how we tied the game with Jimmy scoring right there. And then second goal, the fourth goal, Johnny. Oh, I just gave the ball to Johnny. Johnny just started running down the line. It's pretty much all him and Daniel. Great play by both of them. But hey, we could smell that we can go for that 4th goal.
So you mentioned Johnny, Felipe also getting on the score sheet in this game. How do you think some of the new guys are integrating now that you've played a couple games in the regular season?
Great. I thought in preseason, you know, they did really well. But like I said, it's not just this game. It needs more games for the guys to get into the swing of things. But that's just the entire team. You know, maybe this preseason we did a little less so we can have a better season all the way. We know the summer months are the most difficult ones, and that can definitely make people tired. So, you know, these few games are not going to be easy. We saw against New York here at home, it wasn't easy, and Chicago wasn't easy either. You know, there's laps in the game where we need to get better.
Felipe in particular, he's the new man in the midfield with you and Ilya so far this season. What does he bring to the game, and how have you found working with him in the midfield?
He brings a lot. You know, we, you know, many people didn't know Felipe coming before, but Felipe can defend and attack, and that's great. We were looking for a guy like that. His experience playing with Chile in the World Cup, playing Copa America, playing in Holland and Brazil and Spain. I mean, it's not much you can say about a guy like that. You know, they have the experience. You know, they play for top teams. We know the type of guy he is. He works on both sides of the ball, and his experience is definitely going to help our team.
So now looking forward to San Jose Earthquakes, first Western Conference team you'll play this year. But they have a new manager as well. What are you expecting from them? They've just played the one game, and they did beat Minnesota United.
Yeah. You know, there always been great games against them. Obviously, he's a new coach, but I know the players. You know, we know they like to fight. They give a good fight every game. And with the new coach, I'm sure they change a little bit and are going to bring that same fight in whatever the coach tactically brings and gives them. So we have to be ready for all that.
Good stuff from Roger Espinoza. That engine room, we keep talking about that. I think that's going to be one of the things that should really be a positive for Sporting as the year goes on, and that chemistry that can only get better the more that Gutierrez and Roger and the rest of the players all play together. But I do think it's interesting to see how Roger, how he continues to evolve. I mean, he's over 30 years old now. He told me earlier this year, Carter, that he's particularly thrilled about the new Pinnacle, or what we call the National Training Center, all of the state-of-the-art training and rehabilitation opportunities and availabilities that they have there. He said that it's allowing him to take so much better care of his body, which is something he feels like he's got to continue to do now that he's actually getting on the other side of 30.
That's really interesting to hear that from him. I think Brad Evans said the same thing in preseason, that when he saw the new facilities, he's like, oh my gosh, this could help me so much. And it's interesting that the guys over 30 maybe, you know, thinking about prolonging their careers, that could be a huge asset. I remember, wasn't it Phoenix, the Suns in the NBA for a while there, they were known for their ability to prolong guys' careers. So we started seeing guys like Shaq and a few of the older players that would specifically go to Phoenix because of their training regimen. And I wonder, I think that's really interesting that Roger told you that.
And whether or not it's players over 30 that...
Yeah, I mean, it's going to benefit everyone, but I think that's really interesting.
And Roger was the one that pointed out to me, he's like, look, I'm over 30 now. I've got to start taking even better care of my... Not that he didn't take good care of his body before, but it just becomes even more and more of a priority the older you get. And in this league, we talk about it all the time. It's a grueling schedule. It's a brutally hot summer for most of the United States. It's a lot of travel. And so anything Sporting can do to give their players an edge when it comes to recovery and all that, it will be great. Fitness has never really been an issue for Roger.
That's true. Yeah. He's always had just the most incredible engine. He can just run for days.
Yeah. And now another person you talked to out of training today was Peter Vermees. What are we looking forward to hearing in that conversation?
Yeah, Peter talking about the emotional win over Chicago and the confidence that gives the team going forward, and then San Jose just being a little bit of an unknown this season.
All right, here's Carter Augustine with Peter Vermees at training today.
I thought we played a really, really good first half. Then we, you know, look, we gave up three goals, but the fact that we had the kind of fight back that we had in the second half was a lot to be said for this early on in the season. So I was happy with that as well. And the fact that, you know, I think we probably could have scored two more goals if we just maybe would have released the ball a little bit earlier in a couple situations. But, you know, we created a lot of really good opportunities on the road. And from that point of view, I'm really satisfied, and more importantly, the fact that we were able to come back, even though we went down 3-2, we found a way, and this early on the season, that's a good thing.
Two of the new guys getting on the score sheet as well. How do you think those guys are settling in, especially Gutierrez and Johnny Russell?
Well, it's always good when you know, especially guys that are in attacking positions at times, when they find their chances, they can score, and they do it early because they kind of get that monkey off their back, and they did that. Pretty well in this game. And the other thing is, though, is I think that there's other aspects of their game that's really coming along. We still got a lot of work to do. I mean, we're far from even being close to, I think, where we want to be. But on both sides of the ball, we got to get better. We realize that. And, you know, like anything, it's going to take time.
Now you got San Jose coming up this weekend. They're coming off a bye. And it's the first Western Conference team that you'll play as well. Does that add anything to it?
Well, I think anytime you're playing conference, it's obviously an important game. At the same time, you know, they're a different team than they were last year, and you know, they won their first game. We know it's going to be a tough test for us going into this game, and we have to be ready for all aspects. They always bring good energy. And you know, look, they're a team that's got some smart guys on their team, and especially in Wondolowski, somebody you always got to keep an eye on. And so that's just a smart it's smart play by us, and also trying to be very attentive to the different movements that he makes.
Well, you have to wonder, Carter, if Peter Vermes is using this game against Chicago as an opportunity to light his players up a little bit because they won the game, and it's a little easier to even be critical of the team when you win a game, and then go address some of the things that you weren't happy with in the game, because people are always a little more open, you know, to those types of things.
Yeah.
In some ways, maybe early in the season, that's the perfect scenario for a head coach.
Yeah, could very well be. He's been in the media. He's been very effusive of the fight back that the team had, and how big it was to score four goals at Chicago, to be able to come back with, you know, just 10 minutes or so remaining in the game. He's been, you know, very complimentary of his team, but I do wonder, maybe he has mentioned a little bit of the goals and how he, you know, he'll be taking a look at them. So I wonder if behind closed doors, maybe the win does allow him to be a little more direct about it with his players.
Well, we've been around Peter enough to know that he does not like conceding goals, and especially if they're ones that he feels are preventable. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that's part of the message. But you're right. I mean, it's the character, I think, was the word that Johnny Russell used after the game in your interview with him. That's a great word for it. The character that the team showed in that game and that win is something that should buoy all of us going into the season. When we come back, we will break down and preview the matchup against San Jose. St. Patty's Day, Aaron Go Brow, or however it goes, at Children's Mercy Park on Saturday night. We'll talk about that one when we come back. Back to wrap things up on another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucati along with Carter Augustine. And let's look ahead now to San Jose. Carter, this is a team we only have one game to go off of. That was a 3-2 victory over Minnesota United, their home opener. But then they were off this past weekend. And what I saw in San Jose, a strike partnership of Danny Huson and Chris Wondolowski, with a couple of new wingers, relatively new. Vaco's been there for a little bit, but dynamic. And then Eriksson, the Swedish winger on the right side. They can be dangerous going forward, so that's going to be, I think, one of the big priorities for Sporting Kansas City when they're not in the attack themselves.
Yeah, I think we heard that from Peter Vermes and Roger Espinoza. It being a new coach and a foreign coach at that, they're not exactly sure what to expect from the team, but you heard Peter Vermes talk about Chris Wondolowski. You know the qualities that he has, and you mentioned Huson. He played really well in that game against, yes, Minnesota. So there's some threats up top for sure. I'm curious to see what the early week off does for this team, San Jose. You would think early in the season, maybe playing games is better to get the chemistry going, but they've also had 2 weeks to train specifically for Sporting Kansas City, and this is a manager who will know that Peter Vermes runs his system, so I'm sure he'll have a game plan tailored to this 4-3-3 on the road.
They also had a development in their game. They brought in a big behemoth of a center back in Quintana, who is, you know, look, they've got to replace one of the most notorious, you know, big Victor Bernardes, big, yeah, strong center back. And Quintana's supposed to do that, was playing a really good game, left the game because of an injury in the second half. 2 weeks ago now, so we'll see if he's able to come back and play. But they had to replace him with a 25-year-old who had come from the USL side, Reno.
Yep.
And so that could be something that Sporting Kansas City will be looking at. Either way, it's going to be a new center back pairing from what they've seen in the past from San Jose. Florian Youngworth, who was their center back for much of last year, has moved up into a holding midfield role. And I thought he had some questionable moments in that position. Kind of fell asleep a couple of times in the goals they gave up to Minnesota. Now, was that because they were up 2-0 or 3-0 and they were, maybe they just kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit? Or are there some areas that the Sporting Kansas City midfielders can exploit there?
Yeah, that'll be really interesting to watch. I think the midfield is somewhere that Sporting will really fancy their chances to control possession and dominate the match, especially if they line up how they did with just those two guys in midfield, really. And I think that's something that this midfield trio, I think they'll be really licking their chops. And we know about the attacking qualities that, that San Jose have, but yeah, we saw some shaky defensive moments, certainly, in the latter stages of that Minnesota game.
All right, 7:30 on Saturday, our pregame coverage on Fox Sports Kansas City and the Fox Sports Go app begins at 7 o'clock. And, of course, tickets are still available. SportingKC.com. You want to be there. It's going to be a St. Paddy's Day party, and it's going to be a big game for Sporting KC. Western Conference, we know it. Every single point in the Western Conference matters in that search of at least a home playoff game coming up in 2018. All right, thanks to Johnny Russell, to Roger Espinoza and Peter Vermees, and El Hipopotimo, Carter Augustine. We'll see you next week on the Sporting Kansas City Show.